This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Amma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, among my books is a book I've written called Hiring Winners. And this book focuses on, like the title, Hiring Winners, so how to hire good people. Of course, the focus of the book is in the corporate world, but it applies to anywhere where you have to choose people for whatever the reason, including incidentally in marriages. Now, one of the things that I have said in the book and which I believe is about the importance of values. Now, if you see our lives, there are two things that we have. One is values and the second one is behavior, actions. Values and actions. Values are the foundation from which actions arise. So, based on the value, we act in a particular way. People of certain values act in certain ways. So, if you want to understand behavior, we say you have to go down to the values. What is this behavior coming from? For example, you might have somebody who has an anger problem. Right? So, expresses anger, is uncontrollable and so on. Now, if you say, no, how can we control this anger? You cannot control the anger. You have to go to what is giving rise to the anger. What is the value in the person which is resulting in this person acting in that way, in that set of circumstances? Because you will find that other people who face the same circumstances don't act in that way. It's not as if it's a universal thing that everybody has to, you know, some people act in one way, some people act another way. Anxiety is another big one. Depression is another one. People lose hope. And then they do, you know, all kinds of things. So, different manifestations of behavior, they come from a different set of values. In my book, I use a term, I say, higher values train behavior. Higher values train behavior. Meaning, don't try to train values into a person, because there's a very good reason, because values are hardwired. They are hardwired into you because they come from your upbringing. That is the reason why it is so important to focus on how you raise children. Parents who, literally parents write the script of their children, of whether your child will succeed or fail, you are the reason. To a huge extent, not entirely, but to a great extent. And where you find that parents who have raised children in a certain way, the children have still succeeded, then you find some really overwhelming effort on the part of the child who is now grown up to understand himself or herself, a great understanding of psychology, and then enormous effort to get over the mental blocks and the mental models that the parenting loaded them with. So it is very, very important to understand. And now, from a hiring perspective, it's not worth your while to hire somebody who is loaded negatively and try to cure that. That's not your job, because you're not a unless you're running a counseling center or something. Otherwise, normally you are hiring people to do some work. You're not hiring to change their way of thinking. So it's not doable. You can, in any case, you might not even have the training to do that. It's like medical. I mean, it's like, you know, medical science. You are a doctor, you're not a doctor. If you're not a doctor, you can't say, I'll hire the person, I'll cure him. No, you will kill him. So it's, therefore we say that it is possible to change values, but it is possible, like it is possible to change the shape of your nose. It takes surgery. There's no other way. Or maybe, you know, a boxing glove in a very hard hand. Otherwise, there is no other way. Shape of the nose, the shape of the nose. You want to change it? You say, you know, how do I make my nose like Barbara Streisand's nose or Arnold Schwarzenegger's nose. No, it doesn't matter. You have to go and surgery. So similarly, values can rarely be changed, and even if they can be changed, it's a very, very painful process. And that's the reason why it's very important to raise children correctly with the right values. Literally, I tell parents, you are literally programming their success or failure. It is as serious as that. You are really programming their success or failure, and most parents will do that. They have no clue. They don't even know that. Obviously, no parent will consciously program failure for their child, right? This is not possible. But you don't know. So it's like a bull in a china shop. You know, you don't understand what you are doing. And by the time you understand, or if you ever understand that, the damage is done. Now, values, incidentally, have nothing to do with what passes for education, what we like to call education. That has nothing to do with values. Our education is literally different levels of literacy and numeracy. That's it, right? All education can be collected into that. Different levels of literacy and numeracy. Real education literally begins and ends with values. So give children the right values and they will learn the rest on their own. Now, what are some right values? I think this is almost a given. Number one, truthfulness. Number two, reliability. And that is why Rasulullah's title was truthful and reliable. Truthful and reliability. Then, of course, value for your word. A sense of pride of identity to say that I don't lie. Value for your word. Kindness, compassion, bravery, nobility, and a host of others are all values. They're not learned in schools, but they are learned watching parents and elders. And that is why the loss of the joint family system is such a huge loss of potential value-demonstrating people in the lives of children. And that is why adab is where it all starts, and that's what's missing in our society. Now, since we don't live in a society with joint families, one of the things that you can do and you should do is expose children to positive and good adults in your circle. So maybe bring them to the masjid, take them somewhere else. If you have friends who are, and then everyone doesn't need to be a Muslim. Please understand this. You have some people who are not Muslim, but they are absolutely fantastic people in terms of their values and so on. By all means, take them there. Let the children be exposed to those people, Muslim or not, doesn't matter. It's you're looking at the values of those children. Now, the question somebody asked me was, one of my good friends, he specializes in asking good questions. So, he asked me, he said, after listening to all this, he tells me, what about the values of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where did they come from? So, do you think this was divine intervention? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach him? Or did they come also from his environment? Because that's my contention. It comes from environment. Comes from family. For Rasulullah himself also, of course, what Allah gave him, Allah gave him. But also, you can clearly see if you read the seerah, that the values came from his environment. First of all, the reason the Arabs used to send their children out into the desert with the Badus was to teach them values, to teach them the Arab culture, the Arab society, pure Arabic language. Also, of course, for health reasons. But main thing was this, imbibing of all the noble values of the Arab culture. Hospitality, bravery, honor, right? All of this. So, they used to send them out. Specifically, they used to send them out for that reason. So that's one place where he would have picked up this. Second thing is, again in the seerah, just take the one story of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, going to meet Abraha, the king of Yemen, to ask for his camels, which Abraha's soldiers had stolen, right? Kidnapped. Historical account says that when Abdul Muttalib walked into the tent of Abraha, and who's Abraha? Abraha is the Yemeni king. First of all, he's a king. Abdul Muttalib is not a king. Secondly, Abraha is coming there as a conquering or potentially with the intention of conquering Makkah. He is at the head of an army. He is in this tent, obviously with all the pomp and splendor of that, and he's sitting on a throne and so on. When Abdul Muttalib walks in, Abraha spontaneously stands up and comes down to welcome him. He does not even know who the man is. Right? He stands up and comes. Now, what does it tell you? It tells you that here was a man whose presence was so strong. Right? The waqar Allah gave him. The presence of the man, the look of the man, how he was dressed and whatnot, and how he walked and everything. I mean, all of this was so strong, so powerful, that it spontaneously influenced a king who came with an evil intention. Right? So, now this man, Abdul Muttalib, was the man that Rasulullah ﷺ was exposed to on a daily basis because he lived with him when he was at a young and impressionable age of maybe about, say, between the age is about 6 to 10 or so. So, values come from there. So, I want to close with this to say that this is a very, very important thing that I remind myself and you all to think about and say, ask yourself, what are the values that we are giving our children? Now, in this process, just think about this one line which I always say, children listen with their eyes, not with ears. Children listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. Now, many times parents don't realize you say things supposedly like a joke. You behave in a certain way in the house, right? You may use some language which is not so great to use, bad language and whatnot, and so on. Children pick up every single thing. Children pick up everything. And that is how the values get created. I want to end with this. In 2020, we had, they asked me to speak at the Martin Luther King, the Martin Luther King Day. And we were talking about racism. And somebody sent me a little video clip, just about a minute or so, of this small white girl. She must have been about 2. In Australia, because from the accent I could make out that it was Australia. So this little girl, she is obviously gone into the cookie jar and she is, eaten some cookies. So the mother catches her and the mother says, "Who took the cookies?" So the girl says, "Not me." Then the girl says, so mother says, "No, you, not you, then who?" The mother says, "Do you mean a robber came into the house?" She says, "Yes." So the mother says, "The robber came, he did not take the stereo, he did not take the TV, he did not take anything, he only took the cookies." She says, "Yes." And then she says, "He was a black man." Now think about that. How does a 2-year-old little girl in Australia, she's definitely never seen a black man in her life. How does she say black man? Why does she say black man? Obvious answer, right? So this is how values get inculcated, and that is how early values get inculcated. I always say values get inculcated with mother's milk, literally, in the nursery, in your lap. And that is why it is so critically important to inculcate the right values in children. The value of the khashyat of Allah. The value of the hub of Rasulullah ﷺ. The accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The value of the love of Muhammad ﷺ. The value of the honoring the sunnah. The value of love for the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Value for respect for elders. We have the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. He said, "The one who does not respect elders and does not show kindness to youngsters is not from us." All of these and more. So I don't want to go into a list of that, but I'm saying that please give it some thought. Children, your children are your creation. That's the reason why they are your sadaqa jariya. And what you create, believe me, apart from sadaqa jariya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that in this life itself. And I have had the pleasure and the pain of seeing both. I've seen children who are with their parents so fabulously, beautifully that, you feel like, subhanAllah, I wish my children were like this. And on the opposite side, you have children who are literally a curse to those parents. You feel sorry for the old parents, but then if you go back, in history and say, how did the child become like this? Answer is clear. So I request you, and I remind myself and you, let us focus on values and inculcate those in our children. Let's not simply think that, you know, throwing enough money at them is enough. Yes, doctor.
Quick question. So,
Jazakallah
for a beautiful
khatra. The question that Dr. Saad asked was, he mentioned hadith where the meaning of it, Wallahu A'lam, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is more difficult to change the nature, the fitrah of a person than to move a mountain. And he's saying this fitrah, is it when we, from childhood, we are, it's like building a mountain inside your child. So what is the kind of mountain? Is it a mountain of gold, or is it a mountain of coal or iron, or, you know, we don't know what, right? So, and that's very true. This is exactly what, Wallahu A'lam, the meaning of the hadith, what Nabi Sallallahu meant, which is to show how difficult it is. It's not easy. It's very, very, very tough. And that is why the entire, if you look at the da'wah of Nabi Sallallahu, it's not just a matter of changing your point of view or changing your mind about something, right? It's not saying I'm cheering for Arsenal, now I'll cheer for Manchester United. No, it is a lot more than that. It's internal. When you have people who are operating in the world in a way where the world is important and nothing else, to change them to the akhirah is important and the world is a way of earning the akhirah, it's a complete spin. Right? Complete spin. That's why I always say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed the meaning of net worth. A high net worth individual, HNI, in pre-Islamic times in Makkah, was exactly what it is today, which is how much money do you have. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed the definition of high net worth individual from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So net worth became your character, net worth became your values, net worth became your actions, not how much money you have. So this is, and believe me, that was not easy. You know, that was one of the most difficult things that you can possibly imagine. And how difficult it is, I mean, it's a tragic thing to reflect on, that literally about less than 30 years after the passing away of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it almost went back to the original. Right? And there were people there. I'm not now criticizing Sahaba or anything, but there were people who saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people who spent time in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were people who in the next generation, Tabi'un, who were in the company of Sahaba. And we know what they did. So it's very, very important to understand this is not easy. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes a lot of effort. But it is something which is worth doing. And this is what really differentiates us from animals. Because at the end of the day, we are mammals. And, you know, a cow is a mammal, a horse is a mammal, a dog is a mammal. What's the differentiation? Differentiation is values. Differentiation is thinking beyond food, clothing, shelter, and physical needs. It's thinking of something better. What is virtue? What is vice? What is something? What is kindness? What is compassion? Animals don't have kindness and compassion except to their own children, except to their own young, which is something which is instinctive. It is not something which is thought about and so on. It is the potential of the human being to be kind to someone to whom he is not related, to suffer for or to be strong, and to fight for someone who they are not related to. What we are seeing today, for example, in all of these universities and so on, students standing up, these are people who have absolutely nothing to lose. If they're fighting against what's happening in Palestine, right? These students who are fighting, they will lose absolutely nothing, no matter what happens in Palestine. Palestine is like the moon for them. What does it matter to them? They don't know, they are not related to those people. They are not even the same religion. They have nothing in common with the people of Palestine. Whether the people of Palestine live or die makes no difference to them. But they are putting their own lives and their own careers and their own happiness and their own health and safety on the line for people they have never seen, people who they will probably never see. Why? Values. For an ideal. To uphold something. We're saying, no, it is not true that I will not lose. I will lose because I was alive. This was happening and I remained silent. That will not happen. I will speak out. Now imagine the majority of those people are not Muslim. Majority, big majority of them are not even Muslim. And we are Muslim. What must we do? So I remind myself and you, let us not put ourselves in a situation where when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, others will stand there and say, Ya Rab, we did not know you, but we did this. These people knew you. See what they did. May Allah save us from ourselves and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and which does not anger Him. And we ask Allah to save us from that which does not please Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك ارحم الراحمين.